Margaret Fell was one of the most prominent and significant of the early Quakers, and was known as the mother of Quakerism. Born Margaret Askew in 1614 in Lancashire, England, she married Thomas Fell, who became a judge and member of Parliament. Their home, Swarthmore Hall, was often managed by Margaret Fell during Thomas's absences as a circuit judge. In 1652, George Fox, at that stage an itinerant preacher with no organised following, came to Swarthmore Hall. Margaret Fell and her daughters and servants became convinced of the truth of his spiritual message. Here is what she wrote later about that encounter. Quote, "He said how Christ was the light of the world, and lighteth every one that cometh into the world, and that by this light they might be gathered to God. And he said, You will say, Christ saith this, and the apostles say this, but what canst thou say?" End of quote. Margaret Fell was challenged by this and saw that the scriptures had been used as words only, without awareness of the spirit behind them. She was convinced of what George Fox was saying. With the support of Thomas Fell, who was sympathetic to the cause, Margaret Fell made Swarthmore Hall a centre of Quaker activity. She served as unofficial secretary for the movement, receiving and forwarding letters from travelling friends. She also wrote many epistles herself and handled funds. After Thomas Fell died in 1658, Margaret Fell continued with her Quaker work, despite harassment from government forces. She often interceded on behalf of Quakers who were arrested or persecuted. In 1660, Margaret Fell was the principal author of a declaration by a group of friends, including George Fox, to King Charles II, supporting freedom of conscience in religious matters. The declaration said in part, quote, "We are a people that follow after those things that make for peace, love, and unity. It is our desire that others' feet may walk in the same, and do deny and bear our testimony against all strife and wars and contentions." End of quote. This declaration became the basis of the peace testimony in 1661, which stressed that Quakers wanted to see change but would use only non-violent means to achieve it. In 1664, Margaret Fell was arrested for failing to take an oath of allegiance and for holding Quaker meetings in her house. Here is how she described the experience. Quote, "They said, if I would not keep meeting at my house, they would not tender me the oath. I told them I should not deny my faith and principles for anything they could do against me, and while it pleaseth the Lord to let me have a house, I would endeavour to worship him in it. So they caused the oath to be read, and tendered it to me, and when I refused it, they made a mittimus, and committed me prisoner of Lancaster Castle." End of quote. Margaret Fell remained in jail for 4 years, during which time she wrote religious pamphlets. The most noticeable of these was Women's Speaking Justified, a scripture-based argument for women's ministry. Eventually, she was released by order of the king and married George Fox in 1669. They spent little time together as they each focused on the urgent work they felt called to do. George Fox went to America on a religious mission and was imprisoned on his return in 1673. They did manage to spend some time together at Swarthmore Hall, developing the structure of the Quaker movement. After George Fox died in 1691, Margaret Fell continued to be active in the Society of Friends. She was still alive when a measure of legal tolerance of Quakers was achieved. She died in 1702. Her influence on the emerging Quaker movement was vital, and she put much energy into ensuring its solid establishment with firm principles and clear structures. Throughout, she insisted on the grounding of Quakerism in prophetic Christianity, and stressed that corporate unity was to be directed by the Spirit. Let me end with another quote from Margaret Fell. Quote, The truth is one and the same always, and though ages and generations pass away, and one generation goes and another comes, yet the word and power and spirit of the living God endures forever, and is the same and never changes. End of quote. This is David Purnell. I acknowledge the writings of Bill Samuels and the British publication Quaker Faith and Practice for some of the content of this presentation.